Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Casper and the Casper Mattress. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/ghost stories and using promo code Ghost Stories. Terms and conditions apply.
Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Current home supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email your audio file if you record it on your smart device and your story. You can send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm better after I ate.
So, successful 10 days of juicing?
I did it a whole 6 hours. I did.
You did?
And I know that's really lame and horrible, but I kind of forgot about how it might affect my blood sugar, which I can have trouble with on a normal day. I'm not diabetic. I've been hypoglycemic at times in my life.
You were diabetic when you were pregnant.
I was, but I'm not diabetic at this time, but my blood sugar tends to be a little bit on the finicky side. And so I did not think about that when I thought, oh, I'm just going to live on vegetable and fruit juice for 10 days. And that's not a good thing when I start to have blood sugar issues.
You know, it's not. And you know, it's one of those things where if you're going to go and do one of these, you know, cleanse or diet or whatever you want to call it, people are like, oh, you're doing the cleanse. And I'm not really calling it a cleanse. I'm just kind of like, I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
It's for like kind of retraining the taste buds more than anything. But that is true. With the blood sugar issues, you're right. And that's why before anybody attempts any of these things, it should be talk to your doctor and see what they say.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm still going to incorporate that into my, you know, my meals and daily life and make better choices all the way around. But I can't do that by itself.
Yeah.
So that was a quick lesson to learn.
I still have only had juice today.
Yeah.
But I'll probably eat something later. I don't know how long I can just go straight no juice or straight no food. It'll be healthy choices.
Yeah. But go all day without eating, and a lot of times you won't eat till dinner anyway.
I don't have a lot of blood sugar does not affect me the same way it does you. Mm-hmm. So I don't get the any sort of, you know, swinging one way or the other in how I feel, honestly, with what I eat most of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it doesn't affect me that way. So You're right. I don't eat a lot, so I'm actually thinking by incorporating this, I will actually be consuming something and something that is, in fact, good for me.
Sure.
During the day, and then maybe just having some dinner. So there you go. That's that experiment.
Yeah.
That's where that crashed and burned at.
It's not bad, though. I mean, I'm going to be healthier on a whole because I need to be.
Sure.
So
I will say this. I've been really enjoying a lot of the vegetable and fruit concoctions that I've been coming up with. I did try to make essentially a natural V8 today.
Homemade V8.
I got some tomatoes. I put green pepper in there, a little bit of onion to add a little spice to it, carrots, and I think that was about it. It's basically just, I looked at a V8 bottle and said, what's on the picture? Oh, okay, let's drop that in the juicer. And the plastic of the V8 bottle, when ground, does add a weird flavor to it. but no, anyway, I tried it, and it kind of tasted like I was drinking old El Paso.
Yeah, you were drinking salsa for lunch.
It was. And it was like Kansas City? Or what was the old El Paso?
New York City.
New York City, yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like it had chunks like you could dip it. It was like... the watery drippings on the top of the salsa jar when you open it. You had a whole big boy glass of that.
I just chugged it.
Yeah.
I just chugged it. I didn't feel the greatest after.
That was gross.
Anyway. So there you go. We'll figure out other ways to not become ghosts quickly.
Yeah.
Other than juicing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller. Hi. You are on the show.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Christy from New York. I love your show. It keeps me entertained for many hours on a daily basis, so thank you for that. I just wanted to share a couple of experiences that I think you'll really get a kick out of. So ironically, I work at a haunted house / horror attraction here in upstate New York. So for 3 to 4 days every week for 5 or 6 weeks a year, I spend a large chunk of my time surrounded by complete chaos. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. And our entire cast of actors really take their job seriously. So anyway, I'd heard some brief chitter-chatter from the actors about the place being haunted. Really didn't think anything of it because it was an abandoned factory. So obviously, this type of building gives people the creeps. So there's 4 different attractions with different themes. At the time, my brother and I were working together in biotech. My scene was small. I had my own little tiny cubby. On the table in front of me, there's a body, chest cavity completely ripped open, and on the other side of that table is a narrow hallway where our paying victims are scurrying through trying to finally reach the exit. Well, there's a maze-like hallway that leads to my scene, but it's pitch dark, minus the occasional flicker from nearby strobe lights that really didn't make much of a difference anyway, because they really weren't all that bright. So I'm in my cubby, waiting for the next group, and I'm looking in the hallway that they'd be coming from, and I notice a black shadow forming and leaning in as if they were peeking around the wall. So I was really well hidden. So I went ahead and peeked over the little peephole that I have in, which is right where they would be standing if they were peeking around the corner. So nobody was there. And I popped my head back in and looked at my scene just to see if maybe they had started walking to get to the next scene and I missed them. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I hop over the dead body and I run to the scene after mine and ask my brother if I had somehow like missed a group. He had said no, that we hadn't had a group in about 5 minutes. So since then, I've really referred to him as the big man because the black mass was just large in general. And after explaining the experience to my coworkers, some had actually admitted to seeing the same thing in that specific attraction. So I'm not sure what's up with that or who it is, but it was interesting. And the next story is not mine personally, but my brother's. He and 3 other coworkers gathered in one scene just talking while waiting for the next group. They had noticed a small shadow, which was kind of like childlike, staring at them from behind a table. They had all agreed that they had seen it and started towards it, and it just disappeared. Later on, we spoke to the owner of the haunted attraction, who we are actually really good friends with now. And he had said that he had had a medium do a sweep of the factory, and she said that there were two little boys, a tall man and a woman. She said that there were a few others, but she couldn't figure out who or what the rest of them were. She also said, or he also said, rather, that he had had paranormal investigators come in and stay overnight, and they actually caught something both on video and EVP. But those stories are for a different time. Thank you for listening. Sorry it was kind of lengthy, but I'd love to hear what you guys think. I'll call in with a few more stories if you'd like. Thank you guys again for everything you do. Hope everything is going well. Best wishes.
I think that's the perfect gig for a ghost, is haunted to house? Be in a haunted house. And not like a abandoned haunted house, but like a attraction haunted house.
I wonder how often there are hauntings in attraction haunted houses that are just completely overlooked.
I bet a lot more now because the trends with haunted houses, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're the king of haunted house commercials,
mm-hmm.
aren't more haunted houses now if they can get their hands on an old industrial or some sort of property that's got a little history to it, they're going there.
To actually use a real mm-hmm. building that, yeah, I mean, it really depends on the areas. A lot of times, a lot of old abandoned warehouses are maybe not necessarily abandoned, but repurposed, sure. essentially. That's, you're seeing a lot of, in some areas, yes, if the home is big enough to be used for something like that, yeah. So, I mean, it's getting more and more detailed, and I would imagine, and this is just an assumption, I don't really know much about the construction side of things other than just what I see when I'm making some of those ads, but I'm thinking there's probably a lot of repurposed things as well from homes, old
yeah,
homes. Like it's not like stuff out of the antique store we're using in here. It's not just necessarily, you know, the haunted houses that we would have gone to as a kid where it's whatever lumber we, you know, got down at the Fleet Farm and used to build this. It's actually, you know, dressers and, you know, stuff people used,
mm-hmm.
real things. Because, I mean, the budgets on some of these places are insane what they can do now. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have more of that and the energy of what it is, this nervous energy all around. The people are being scared. I think it's a hotbed.
Yeah.
For things possibly happening. I think you're right. Speaking of beds and hotbeds.
Okay.
Maybe it's not hot bed. It's just a bed. It's a great bed. It's a Casper mattress, and they are a supporter of our show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I got to say, I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I feel like I'm snoring less.
You are, for sure. And I hope I am.
And that's not necessarily an advertised feature or anything of it. I'm just speaking from personal experience. I feel like it's giving me the right support where it should be.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying this because they're supporting our show. We switched mattresses and we honestly, we kept our other one around just in case.
Yeah.
After the first night, it's like, nope, we're getting rid of that one. And we're keeping the Casper because I love it.
And see, I didn't want to get a new bed. And then when that showed up, I was like, okay, we're going to hang on to it mm-hmm. just in case, like you just said.
Yeah.
And I'm sold on it too.
Yeah.
And I'm very anxious when it comes to things that could affect my sleep.
Yeah.
So no, it's really great.
It is such a good night's sleep. It really is. I mean, and it's reflective too online. Over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars. It is quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress, the Casper. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Combines supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. And I noticed that too. There's some bounce to it, a little bit.
Yeah.
And stuff that I haven't seen in other, you know, memory foam type products. It's just great. It's mm-hmm. just, it's right. Buying a Casper mattress, it's completely risk-free. Casper offers your free delivery and free return to the 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping in a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to be spending a third of your life on it. So they want to make sure you like it. So that's a really nice kind of peace of mind to have. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. Try Casper for that 100 nights risk-free. in your own home. Don't love it. They will pick it up and refund you everything. It is designed, developed, and assembled here in the USA. So go and check it out for yourself. In fact, you can get $50 off towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/ghost stories and using our promo code Ghost Stories. I know a lot of you listen to our program in bed anyway. So here you go.
Yeah.
You can sleep on the same bed we're sleeping on. Not in a weird way.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. Anyway, check it out for yourself. Casper.com/ghost stories and use our promo code Ghost Stories. Get $50 off any mattress purchase. You'll love it. It is a great product. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Brittany from Indiana. I wanted to, first say that, of course, I'm a big fan, like most who listen to this show. And I am an EPP. I've been an EPP for almost a year now, so it's probably coming on time for me to redo my EPP registration for the year EPP. I listen to about 5 shows a day, so like I've caught up on every show, EPP and the regular shows. So right now I'm re-listening to the EPP shows. I'm currently on EPP 21 because I just love the show that much. But anywho, I'm calling to tell you about my husband's experience that he had last night at work. I've always been interested in the paranormal. Like, I started off reading paranormal books in elementary school. I think the first paranormal book I read was called The Dollhouse Murders, and that just got me into ghosts and ghost stories and things like that. But anywho, so up to my husband's story. So he works at a placement. It's kind of like a detention center for delinquent children. And they have it set up to where there's different like apartments, or they call them cottages, for the children. The cottage that my husband works on is for children who have some kind of developmental disability diagnosis. So they can have, they could be somewhere on the autism spectrum, or some of them are like just diagnosed with ADD or ADHD or something like that. And there's also a lot of children who have mental illnesses as well who are in his cottage. And as we know, people with disabilities, developmental disabilities, mental illnesses are usually more susceptible to paranormal activity. So last night, he was working the 3 to 11 shift, and he was looking at his cell phone. All the children were asleep. He was looking at his cell phone, but out of the corner of his eye, he saw a person poke their head out from around a wall, like around a doorway. So he gets up to go see if it's one of the kids who's gotten up trying to get out, because that's something that happens all the time. Kids try to run. So he goes to see if somebody's there. Nobody's there. He checks the room, and all the kids are in their beds. So he's like creeped out, like, what the crap? So when the midnight person comes to relieve him, he tells her what he saw, and she said, well, one of the children also reported that he woke up in the middle of the night one night just out of nowhere, and he saw somebody standing in the corner of his room. He figured it was his roommate, but then all of a sudden the figure like blinked, and it was on top of him and holding him down, and he couldn't move, he couldn't scream or anything. So he only reported that, I guess, to her, because they're often, unfortunately, not believed when they say these type of things, or is attributed to their illnesses or whatever. But she said that she also had an experience with another co-worker where it was late at night like that. I think I want to say she was probably doing the midnight shift. And they saw three figures walking toward like down a hallway toward the exit. But then they got up to chase them because they figured it was three kids trying to escape. And the figures turned to a side room. So they go in the room and nobody's there. So when my husband told her his experience, she was totally like freaked out. So what I also forgot to add is my husband said after he saw that figure and went to investigate and saw nothing, when he got back to their like common area where their staff sits, he realized that none of the digital clocks were working anymore. And not only were the clocks not working, the time clock was not working for them to clock in and out. The doors were not working. You have to have an ID badge to get in and out of the doors, obviously, so the kids can't get out. And the doors wouldn't work. So, but the odd thing is, those are all run electronically. Like they all run on electricity, but the lights were still on. The heat was still on, you know. So all the electricity in the cottage wasn't out, but any way for them to get out of the cottage was malfunctioning. So like the doors wouldn't unlock. He also said that their emergency phones to call for help were not working either. So he was really freaking out. So after he told the lady the story, all of a sudden they hear heavy knocks on the door outside. So she takes off running down the hallway. Luckily, it was just the second midnight staff because the doors weren't working, so he couldn't use his ID badge to get in, so he was knocking on the door for somebody to let him in. So that was his experience. He was pretty freaked out about it. So yeah, I have a couple other stories. None of them are really my own, except I guess I might have time to tell this one. So we rented a house a couple years ago, and apparently the house was owned by an older couple. They never had any children, so when they died, the city took over the house, and somehow my landlord got a hold of the house and ended up renting it out to us or whatever. I believe in the paranormal. I'm interested in the paranormal, but I don't want to see Jack. Like, I don't want to see nothing, and I make it very well known to everybody, because I'm the person who asks everybody, do you have a ghost story? However, I always make it known, I don't want to see nothing for myself. It's like a boxing to me. I don't want to jump in the ring, but I enjoy watching the fight. So anyway, we were trying to decorate the house or whatever, so I bought like a big mirror for the living room wall, and I also bought like some little shelves to put like little tea light candles on or whatever. So I put hung the mirror, and then right below the mirror I put a shelf with three tea light candles. And the wall that these were hanging on was next to our door. So knowing that, I tested it by opening and closing the door, slamming the door really hard, knocking on the wall just to make sure they wouldn't fall, because obviously if it's next to the door, then it's a chance that it'll fall. So it was fine or whatever. So later on that night, we're watching TV and the shelf just falls. The mirror doesn't fall, but the shelf falls. So I'm like, dang, I tested it. Okay, whatever. So I put it back up, put everything on, test it again. Everything's fine. Couple days later, same scenario. We're sitting down watching TV. The shelf just falls. I'm like, all right, you know, okay. And my husband's like, something creepy's going on. I'm like, oh no, it's okay. Cause in my head, I am not going to acknowledge anything. Like I could probably see an apparition appear in front of my face and I'm going to pretend I see nothing. Just cause I don't want to give it any attention to have it get any stronger or anything like that. So I'll ignore it. So even talking about it in the house was too much for me. So I'm like, no, it just fell. Maybe it's a bad screw, whatever. So I get two more nails. I move it up a little bit because I'm like, maybe these holes are too loose or something. So I move it up a little bit, put the shelf back. Sure enough, a couple days later, we're sitting watching TV. The shelf falls again. And my husband's like, I told you something creepy's going on. So I just threw the shelf away. I said, forget it, no more shelf. So if this is what you choose to mess with us, it won't be a shelf anymore. So I threw away the shelf. Couple weeks later, my husband sends me a video, and I know Tony doesn't like orbs really, but he sends me a video of my Chihuahua chasing around an orb by this wall. Again, I told him, oh, that's just a piece of dust. Don't worry about it. She's crazy. Chihuahuas flip out for whatever. But in his mind, he's like, no, you're just in denial. Something's going on. He still says I'm in denial. Whatever. And then the last thing that happened at the house, well, I'm not going to say the last thing because it happened quite often. We would be in the living room watching TV. And then all of a sudden, everything we had in our bathroom, like around the tub, in the shower, like, you know, body wash, shampoo, that type of thing, everything we had would just fall out of nowhere. I would be like, hey, maybe they just weren't up there well enough or whatever. Maybe they were teetering on the edge. So I would ignore it. Or we had a bedroom that I used as my closet because we didn't have any kids at that time. So I had a, you know, just like a basket full of clothes or whatever. And out of nowhere, this basket would just fall. We'd be, again, sitting in the living room, just watching TV, minding our business, and out of nowhere, we'd hear it fall. And my husband was like, so how are you going to deny that? How are you going to deny that this basket just fell? It's been there and nothing's happening, but it fell. This happened probably, I would say that basket fell maybe at least once every 2 weeks. And now that I think about it, I didn't even realize, I guess I blocked it out so much that I didn't even realize it happened that often. But according to my husband, yeah, it did. I was just really good at blocking stuff out. But yeah, that basket would fall probably once every 2 weeks, and I would just go pick it up, put the clothes back, and go about my business. But that is the sum of my stories and my husband's stories. I do have another story that my friend Steve told me, so I'll call in another time and tell you his story. Thank you.
You think ghosts like pick their favorite body wash and mess with it? Like, ooh, look, it's Summer Breeze. And
I don't know.
That's the one they try and knock over so it breaks and it smells.
Makes you wonder if they can still smell things.
That would be a sense I wouldn't want to not have anymore.
Yeah.
Although it's one of those things where, you know, they kind of go through people sometimes. Then do you have to smell like all that too? Like your brain? Maybe that's where the zombies, they start to crave it because it's, I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Like when you have stuff like that being, and what is the purpose sometimes of these things just being knocked down, like with a shelf and things?
I'm here. Yeah. I am here. Pay attention to me, or I want somebody to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have to be one heck of a dust speck for the dog to see it and chase it around.
And now that's an orb I'd like to see. I know she said, like, I don't like orbs. Because a lot of times in pictures, you're right, I don't. Because they can be 10,000 different things in a still picture. And it's very difficult to tell direction or anything in a picture. But in video, that's where they get interesting. Mm-hmm. So I do like orbs, but I do need to see them in action more so. To ever give an opinion of, like, you think this is something? In a video, I can do it right away. Like, yes, it changed direction. And it, you know, there's something there. And it's still, it's too hard.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. Just, I mean, by the way, the light can refract it, and they look very, a real orb versus a fake orb can look very, very similar. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. And by the way, if you're not an EPP yet, you hear people talking about it, it's an extra podcast person. You can sign up at ghostpodcast.com. That's where you can get all the bonus episodes of our show, all the extra stuff. It's great. 130 bonus episodes up there now for you to just binge away on. So the caller, hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jen from Nebraska. I've written in a couple of times, been listening for about 2 years, I think, a couple of Halloweens ago. Love your podcast, but I've been listening to a backlog of episodes because I hadn't been able to catch up in a while. And there were a couple of instances in the past few episodes that really hit home in a way that I wasn't expecting, which is interesting to say considering the topic of your podcast and how much it affects me anyway. But these particular instances have led me to come to the decision to share a story or an experience that I had. And it's very, very hard for me to talk about. I've only ever told one person about it, and I only ever told her once. So I apologize if it sounds like I'm rambling. I'm trying to gather my thoughts and really talk my way through this. This is actually probably my fourth time trying to record it. So please bear with me. I promise it will make sense. One of the things that I do want to talk about, there was someone who was talking about how she had a theory that sensitives could hear TVs. She in particular could hear it from, you know, another floor. And that's something that I definitely can agree with, coincide with. I can hear things plugged in, and it's weird. It's kind of like a really, really quiet, high-pitched, almost hum or whine. No one else can really hear it, but it's really distracting at work. I work in an office, so there's computers and phones and everything plugged in. It's one of the reasons why I actually have to have a fan going in my room at night so I can sleep. It drowns it out. But that is something that I thought was kind of interesting because I've never really heard of that before. I do consider myself a sensitive, but it's really complicated. And that's the main reason why I'm calling. I know that I do have some sort of sensitivity to the paranormal, but it has to be really, really, really obvious for me to become aware of it. What my friend likes to play with those, you know, talking ghost apps where you can, you know, track them down and all that fun stuff, and it gives you those words, and I don't really pay too much attention to it, but it's kind of fun sometimes. But they don't work for me. They don't work on my phone. There was at one point where we were sitting in our living room doing it together, and every time I would ask a question, it would go silent. All the levels on it would drop. It would be just completely dead until she would say something, and then it would pick right back up to where it was before. It's very, very weird. If I do have something happen to me, it's almost an explosive sort of reaction. A really good example of this was I was sleeping one night, and it sounded like someone screamed, "Hey," like right by my head. And of course, it startled me awake, but, you know, I would have probably attributed it to a waking dream, except my dog, who was sleeping in her bed next to mine, freaked out and jumped up, started growling, barking, snarling. And she's a very gentle dog. She's never done that sort of thing before. And that alone terrified me. It's not really me seeing anything. What I really encounter a lot is a feeling, which I guess you can chalk up to being sensitive. It's this weird kind of internal pressure at the back of my shoulders, almost like something's pushing me, but I can't feel anything. It's really, really bizarre. It's like I can feel it and I can't feel it at the same time. And I'll go more into that, but I have a lot of trouble trying to describe it because I've never had anyone who's experienced something to the level that I have. My mom always said that I was sensitive, that I was more in tune than most when it came to this sort of thing. Even to this day, she still does. But she said I was a lot more sensitive when I was a little kid. And when I was about six, we moved into a double-wide trailer, and it was your typical 70s double-wide low-income kind of trailer. It had wood paneling everywhere. It had brown carpet. The appliances in there were that marigold yellow that you see everywhere. And in the master bathroom, there was a particular paneling that looked like red and cream damask wallpaper. And it was ugly as sin. It was so horrible. But my mom loved it for whatever reason, so they didn't change it. We did have bunk beds in there, and I'll pause so you can ring the bell. But they were separated. We had taken them apart because the room was bigger and it wasn't quite as tall. So we did have the bunk beds, but they were separated, my sister and I. And it wasn't long after we moved in that I started having these night terrors. That's the only way I can describe them. They were things that a six-year-old should not have ever known about. Things that I had never been exposed to before. My, you know, dreams, vivid dreams of my dad being shot in the line of duty. My dad's a police officer. My brother being torn apart by a pack of wild dogs. My mom drowning my baby sister in the bathtub. Helping my grandma move tons and tons of bodies out of the basement in her farmhouse. They were all really vivid, really horrible. And to this day, you know, every now and then if I get super stressed out for whatever reason, they will recur. They come back. The one thing, though, that ties them all together was that every single dream had a man. And this man stood in the sidelines, and he watched me. He was always watching me. He was always just grinning, and it wasn't a very nice grin. He was short. He had greasy black hair. He had a beard that was really scraggly. It was not well kept up. He had brown eyes, missing teeth. He was your basically, he was almost like a humanized troll. You know, his skin tone was normal. He didn't have warts or things like that, but he was short, fat, and just creepy. And he was always watching. It didn't matter what I was dreaming. It didn't matter how bad it was, who all was else in the dream. He was always there. And I never understood it. And about a year and a half into this, of having these night terrors, night after night, without fail, I had one that absolutely terrified me to the point where I didn't want to go back to the house. I didn't want to sleep in my room. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to drive anywhere. I was petrified, absolutely petrified. And in this dream, I'm walking through our home towards the master bathroom. And as I turn the corner to look in the master bathroom, you can't tell that the paneling on there is white and cream. It looks, or excuse me, red and cream. It is completely red. There's blood pulling on the floor. It's raining down the walls. It's coming out of the sinks. It's dripping from the ceilings. It's everywhere. It's covering the windows. And in the middle of all this, completely drenched in all this blood from head to toe, is that man. And he's looking right at me again. And there's no one else in the dream. It's just him and me. And we're standing in there. And he puts his finger to his lips. And he says, "If you promise not to scream, I'll tell you how I did it." I don't know what he meant. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't want to know. But that was the final straw for me. I didn't spend another night in that place. My mom didn't believe me. For someone who was so convinced that I was sensitive, she certainly shrugged off what was happening pretty darn quick. But I have a feeling, or a theory rather, that really changed me. I get a lot more hunches to stuff versus actually experiencing the paranormal. After that, I did become almost morbidly fascinated with the paranormal. I looked up everything that I could, which, you know, you have a four-year-old who wants to read Stephen King because the other stuff isn't scary enough. It's kind of weird, or a six-year-old rather. it's not right. And as time went on, sorry, that squeaking is my dog playing with her toy. The longer, or as more time passed, the weirder it felt. It felt like I was feeling it, but not feeling it. And it wasn't until I met my best friend, who, I'm going to use Jenny's term here, she's probably the most paranormally affected person I have ever met in my life. She's had experiences her whole life. It wasn't until I moved in with her and we were roommates that more stuff started happening to me. And it was then that I became more aware of the fact that what I experience is more abnormal than what is normally abnormal, if that makes sense. I would get more of those not feelings. I started having the dreams again, for a while. And when she would leave, you know, go visit her parents on the weekend, or at one point she had to take an internship out of town, everything would get a lot worse. It was almost like whatever was drawn to her would suddenly latch onto me, to the point where I could actually experience some things, like that voice screaming, "Hey," in the middle of the night. And it was terrifying. It wasn't something that I was really prepared for. But the more I think about it, the more I think that this man in the dream, I don't know if he triggered something. I don't know if he broadened or sharpened my sensitivity in a way. But I think as much as I got more of those hunches and more of those feelings, I got a lot of conflicting signals. And I wonder if my brain psychologically decided to try and block out what happened because it was so traumatic at such a young age. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. I'm kind of grasping at straws here. I'm trying to understand it. But when I'm experiencing something, I say it's the feeling that's not the feeling, because it feels like I should be feeling something and I'm not. It's that pressure where it feels like something is, you know, rushing you and saying, you know, you have to go, you have to go, you have to go. And then there's another part of me that's like, but there's nothing, you know. No, you don't. You're fine. You're fine. There's nothing there. You're fine. But I know there is. I don't know if any of this makes any sense. And I've been rambling now for a while, so I apologize. So I'm going to go ahead and let it end here. I just kind of wanted your take on it. Am I grasping at straws? Does this even make any sense? Am I just trying too hard to look into something that's not there? I'd really like your guys' opinions. I'd really like your answers, what you think might be happening. Anyway, that's all I've got for this. I do have more stories of my time with my friend and other things that mostly happened to her, but I will call in and talk about those or write those in at some point. So you guys have a great day and stay safe. Bye.
I am so grateful that she called in and shared that, because I know how hard that must have been.
Because
I know there's other people out there that are hearing this and thinking they've had something similar happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think since the same person was showing up in all these nightmares, that it's not something that she just conjured up. It's not little kid bad dream. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's this bad being that's shown up in all these dreams.
Well, it's interesting just how dark some of those dreams were.
Yeah.
For being a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, kids dream of scary stuff, but like shoveling bodies under, you know, or digging or hiding bodies with grandma. I mean, it's just very disturbing imagery.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like, oh, where'd you pick that one up? Oh, it's on SpongeBob. You know, it's like, not exactly. It's like something else, you know. I mean, I don't know what she was watching as a kid. I don't know that atmosphere, but a lot of little kids, little girls, probably not surrounded by enough imagery of things of that it's going to make their way into dreams.
Yeah, especially before she started being so into the paranormal.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing that got to me was when she talked about, you know, dreaming of her father being shot.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a cop when I was a little kid too.
Sure.
And And that was something, you know, that you're always afraid of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I never had the vivid dreams like that, like sure. she was describing. And I don't know how many kids do, because
sure,
I would think, especially when your parent is a cop, that the other parent or whoever is watching you tries to kind of shelter you from things that show that.
Sure.
You know, I at least in my household, somewhat that happened.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, and that's, I guess, of all of the, because she had a laundry list of imagery and dreams. Mm-hmm. Of all of them that I could say, okay, I could see that showing up in a dream somewhat compared to the other ones. That would have been the one, maybe, because it's kind of, it's closer to home. It's more realistic for a horrible possibility. Mm-hmm. But the other ones are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a little kid waking up and after that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree. There was something else that seemed to be trying to weave its way into your subconscious. And what is its goal? I don't know, other than disturbing you and there may be some direction it's trying to push you in. I don't know what that is, but it does seem like something is trying to meddle with you in a very disturbing way, or was, and I should say, sometimes this stuff comes mm-hmm. back. You know, why? I have no idea.
No.
But you're not alone. There are certainly other people out there who have these same questions of how is this happening? Why is this happening? And how far does it go beyond, you know, this being a psychological issue that could actually be addressed? Or is this something that is paranormal in nature that goes beyond that? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes I wonder with that, where if this is something paranormal in nature, which I think it is, and because then some people will just argue the psychology end of it. Sometimes the kind of the surrounding yourself in positivity, bringing yourself up some levels, you know, in just your well-being, in your mental state. We've seen that and heard that before, where people are able to essentially pull themselves out of fairly dark places. And then a lot of the things that have been fairly dark around them, or that have been kind of plaguing them, also kind of go away or tamper down.
They don't have what they need to feed off of.
Exactly. The fuel goes down because you're able to get yourself up there. So almost like the two can sometimes work hand in hand. It's just not really the way you think.
No.
Half the time. So that's something to think about too. Thank you for taking the time to share your experience and your story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm gonna go juice a tomato now and mix it with, we should do like a wheel of juicing.
Oh, that's gross.
Or it's just
no,
like
just dice. You roll the dice and it's like banana with onion.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you have to drink it. And then there's like the random, like a whammy. It's a piece of meat.
I'd rather play Bean Boozled or whatever that game is that has the throw up flavored yeah. jelly beans.
You got apricot, spinach, and flank steak.
I know where I'm going out to eat. You enjoy your juice.
There you go. Thanks for listening to the show. If you like it, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up, get all those benefits, all those bonus episodes, and the satisfaction of knowing that we still exist because you're helping the show to continue. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up for that and check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.